2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse number 6, down to verse number 13. Let me read this, and I will give you a brief overcap, and pick up under the cause of fear where we left off last Wednesday. And so looking here at verse number 6, Paul tells Timothy, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is Christ in Christ Jesus." And so let's pray, and we'll pick up where we have left off dealing with this giant of fear. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, again, the opportunity. And in this day and hour, the opportunity that is still available to us is not necessarily available across our country right now due to the situation. But I thank you that we can come together. I do continue to pray that you would put a hedge of protection about every one of our people. Lord, those that are here tonight, though in small number, I know there are many more watching, and even some that may not be able to watch immediately right now, I believe will be going back as normal and be visiting it like they do on a regular basis. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, to see what it is in your word concerning this spirit of fear and this giant that we face that Satan loves to use in a child of God's life to pull us away, to remove us from the ability to understand what walking by faith is all about. And I pray, Lord, that through all that is done tonight, and Lord, also through what we experience in the days to come and all that we have to do, may we take what we look at and what we're studying and learn how to especially balance ourselves biblically so as to understand walking by faith and not allowing fear to grip us, but also walking in wisdom, that we be not foolish in our decisions. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to make just understand this, make your word very clear, just open up the truths in our minds that we might understand in a way that maybe we've never seen or understood before. We'll be careful to give you the honor and glory for all that you do. In Christ's name, amen. Well, we've already dealt with, in looking at fear, that fear is a gripper of every single person. That's pretty obvious today. Fear can get you in a heartbeat. About the time you think that you've got it conquered, I'm not afraid of anything. Matter of fact, was it Nike? Their theme, their slogan. Thank you. Couldn't find the word. Their slogan was "No fear." Yeah, well, that wouldn't work today. It might be two words, but they just wouldn't seem to understand what no fear really is, because fear is gripping a lot of people. And if not fear, then worry. And we've already dealt with some worry before in the past. But we said that there is a creator of fear. There's actually two creators of fear, but God is neither one of them, because the Bible tells us God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's not the creator of fear. He is a creator of peace. He's a creator of calm. And therefore, fear has to come from another source. There are two creators. We said one of them is Satan. He likes to use fear. It's one of his weapons. And he tends to plant the seeds. He's a creator of it. But we are ourselves the other creator of fear, because we allow, sometimes it may not be fear that Satan plants, but it's the seed of fear. And then we allow ourselves to be surrounded by and affected by things that will take that seed of fear and blow it out of proportion, which turns us into individuals that run and hide. And unfortunately, when fear is present, faith cannot prevail. And so we need to make sure that we are not allowing fear to rule our lives. Now, we said that between Satan creating fear and us allowing fear to grow, and therefore we create sometimes, we compound the issue, the fear we already have and the fear we bring on top of it. We also said that there are causes of fear. Now, that's where we started last Wednesday night, and we're now going to get into a little bit of this. I'm going to try to finish up this area of the cause of fear tonight, because after that, we then have the correction of fear, and that's when we're going to deal with what it takes to really overcome fear itself. And so as we dealt with this cause of fear, we said ultimately fear is the result of not loving God enough, because when you love the Father, you can trust the Father fully. When you love Him fully, you can trust Him fully. And when you trust Him fully, that is faith. You're faithing your life on Him. You're placing everything on the trust in your Heavenly Father. But if we don't love Him as we should, we have a hard time trusting Him as we should. And when faith is not present as it should be, fear has an open door to take hold. And so ultimately, and again, that's, and right now it's so hard to say things like this without people saying, yeah, see, just trust God. I told somebody this the other day, and I'll reiterate this now to everyone, and don't take this wrong, but I've seen posts about it, and I've heard people talk about it, and I believe it's slightly in error. People have said, don't fear the coronavirus. The blood of Jesus will protect you. No, the blood of Jesus saved you from your sins. The blood of Jesus is not going to protect you from a virus. Can God protect you? Yes. Can you pray and ask God to put a hedge of protection and trust that He can do? Yes. But just because you speak the blood of Jesus over it doesn't mean that the blood of Jesus all of a sudden is going to cover this virus and protect you and put this bubble around you. Okay? That's almost spiritism, folks. That's almost an Eastern mysticism kind of idea that there's some magic potion in the blood of Jesus, and if you speak it and you claim it, it just covers you and nothing can touch you. I fully believe nothing is going to kill me until God says, you're done. Amen. But can I remind you, you can live without being dead, but also it not be much of living either. Just because you don't die, God not going to let this thing kill me. No, but He might give it to you and change your life completely. I'm just telling you, be careful with this whole claim of the blood of Jesus and the this and that. There can be, in this time frame, people take the idea of faith and they go so far with it. That's why the world considers us wackos. Not because we truly believe this book, but because people take it and they go so far off the right side of things. They go so far off the end with stuff that almost becomes worldly in mentality. And yet they claim this is Bible. No. The Bible says, and I'll be putting on the sign, Lord willing, tomorrow if it doesn't rain on me. I think I told Brother Butch, it's my plan. I found my verse to Proverbs 11:1. Let me put on the sign out there, remember the value of balance. Because that's over 90% of the time the biggest problem whether it's a Christian or someone who doesn't know Christ as their Savior. The biggest problem throughout our entire world, whether the child of God or not the child of God, is an improper balance. We either fly over this way or we fly over this way. We get pulled over here, we get pulled over there. Most people are not just saying, okay, calm down. Lord, what do we do? Balance. That's the, in decision-making as to how do we move forward as a church so as not to be an offense to our community, but also not to surrender up things that that we need to be doing. There's a balance there, and it's a difficult struggle, and sometimes there are scenarios that are harder than others. But the last thing we're going to do is say, bless God, I'm just by faith. I'm going to walk through the midst of corona, and it won't touch me. Okay. Dumb. I'm going to go find the most saturated place. I'm going to walk through there, and I'm just going to lick everything and trust God. It ain't going to hurt me. No, if you do something that foolish, God might say, you can have what you deserve. Now listen, God cannot be our magic potion so we can claim that we're some kind of super being with God on my side. No, it's not what it's about. Now, we should not fear, but we also should not be foolish. There's balance in everything. And I believe God ultimately is the only one who is perfectly balanced in all things. Amen. How can you be the judge of all the earth knowing that you're going to have to judge sin righteously and be confident in the finality of the decision, and at the same time show the love and care and concern that your son would be sent to die, and through that death and giving of sacrifice, that through that there would be an option to not be judged by the sin, but to be covered by the blood of Jesus for all eternity, so your sin is forgiven. Hey, listen, God himself is nothing but the proper balance. Mercy and judgment all at the same time equally weighed out. If we could ever get a hold of that God of perfect balance, I believe he could give a perfect balance and peace of mind in decision making that doesn't fly off this handle or fly off that handle, but can easily say, the Lord's given me peace about this, and I believe it's the right decision in a very wise but yet balanced nature. Fear, and I'm not getting very far. Y'all hold me. My time's up. Why'd y'all get me off on that? All right. Y'all hold on because I am finishing this. So fear brings a snare. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Doesn't mean we won't ever face harm, but we will be safe. Listen, nothing can remove me from the hands of God. Nothing can take me away from my security for eternity. I am safe. It doesn't mean that I can't face harm, but my eternity is safe. How about this? Fear always has a definite object, okay? Here we go. Here's the cause of fear. Definite object. Got to move forward. Every fearful object is something we perceive as both present and powerful, something over which we have no control. You're going to find that a lot of this stuff, listen, I've already had it here. I've not built this through all that's been going on, okay? This has already been on my paper ever since we started this thing. But you're going to find that it actually, you can see it happening. You can see it, every bit of it's going to make sense with what's going on around us. Every fear has an object to it. And that object is both because of what is present and powerful, something that which we cannot control. The more we can't control it, the more we tend to fear it. This is where fears differ from worry. People worry about something that is uncertain and unknown. Worry will give way to fear. Sometimes, you know, it's like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Well, that's worry. Yeah, but when you see something, you're like, that's dangerous. That becomes fear if you're not careful. And worry can quickly change over into a full-fledged fear. Some fear trials. 1 Kings 19, 2 through 4 says this, "Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as a life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Now, we've read all that already before, dealing with Elijah and his struggle. But listen, Elijah had fear because of the trial that he was facing. And when we face trials, sometimes, though we know we have a Heavenly Father we can trust in, sometimes the hitting of a trial in our life, we smack up against it, all of a sudden, that faith you claim to have, your knees can buckle for a moment in the face of that trial, which is why it takes a child of God, and it's a necessity that we go back to the Word of God and get back into the throne room of God and get back underneath the shelter of the wings of God, and we understand where we stand as a child of God, and don't let the trial you're facing cause fear to cause you to make you crumble. Then some fear trouble. 1 Samuel 17:23-24 tells us this, "And as he walked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them." Now here's what happened to the men of Israel. It says, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid." Goliath was big time trouble. That giant was in their way, and they were afraid of the trouble. Some fear tomorrow. Matthew 6:34, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Listen, tomorrow, you don't even know what I told the deacons. I said, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but actually right about now, I don't know what's going to happen in the next hour. I really don't. I have no clue. More than any other time in history, in my lifetime, there is more uncertainty about the next few minutes than I've ever seen before. Some fear the tomb, which is why a lot of people right now are running around crazy, trying to hide, trying to stay away, trying to do everything possible that they can control what's happening, but when they can't, they become more fearful. They fear that tomb. Psalm 23:4 reminds us, we've already visited this before, "But yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Listen, fear is real. Fear is present. The tomb is something we're going to all face. Unless, of course, the Lord comes back. If the Lord comes back, then we're all just going to get out of here. That wouldn't hurt my feelings either. But some fear the tomb. I'm just going to give you this last little bit, and I'm done for this evening. There's a lot more here than I thought there was. Let me give this to you real well. Nope, we'll hold off. We're gonna hold off. I'm sorry. In the fact that fear has, I want to say fear has a face, but actually it's just dealing with the fact that there is always an object that we wrap fear around. Right now, the object is a virus. Some people fear the government taking control through this virus. But there's always an object to attach fear to, and the more objects that are in front of you to attach fear to, the bigger fear seems to be. And as it grows, it can overpower us. We, as a child of God, have got to be careful that we don't allow the objects in front of us in life to overshadow our faith in following God. Now, as I said before, we've made some tough decisions. I don't like the prospect of having to shut the doors and go completely online and streaming our services. You know, my family will be over here as best we can, and you know, we'll We'll make it look like a full-fledged service. Y'all just won't know, nobody will be out there. If I got to, I'll make crowd noise. I'll have somebody amen-ing me every 5 seconds. Amen, brother. Amen, preacher. Preacher, preacher. Okay. I'll have a little sound thing going through and be like, hey, it's pretty good. But you can manipulate a lot of things when nobody's around. But here's the thing. No one likes to do the things that are happening right now. And there's a lot of folks who are going to fight tooth and toenail to have everything never not change one little bit. And that, listen, me and one of my friends had talked about, he's a pastor and making some very, really tough decisions. And literally moment by moment, they kept changing and changing and changing to the point where they are simply to a point now they have to live stream completely. Their situation is different than ours to some degree. And everywhere is different. So every pastor has to make decisions based off of different elements they're dealing with. And nobody wants it. But here's the thing. There's a lot of unknowns still yet in what we're facing. There's a lot of things that we can't control whatsoever. And when you have unknowns and you have objects of issues that you cannot control, fear is a very powerful foe. And this giant of fear has reared its head in a very unusual way that we have never experienced before in this country. I believe this too shall pass. I believe we're going to get past it. If we're not careful, we can also be afraid of what's going to be left in the end. What's church going to be like in the end? Is it going to be starting all over again because people with so much time have gotten comfortable not coming to church? They've just gotten comfortable to staying home and watching church? That the ones who normally would be here have finally experienced what it is to sit back? You realize it's how it happens, right? I'll say this and we'll end, but that's how it happens. You miss one time, it feels awkward, it's out of place, you feel like you ought to be there. You miss another time, it's not quite as hard the second time. You miss a third time, it's getting a little bit easier with each one. You miss a fourth time and a fifth time, next thing you know, what's so bad about it? I think I can just do church from home. I don't need to go. Next thing you know, the family's out. You know how easy it is? This time frame in our country for God's people in the house of God can go one of two ways. It can wake some people up and we could come out of this and people be so hungry to get back in church that you could have facilities filled with people that they've never had before. Visitors like crazy because folks are ready to get back to what they took for granted. Or it could go the other way. People have gotten too adjusted to having it really how they want it. They like not having to go to church. They like not having to wake up and get dressed. I can watch church in my pajamas. I can eat breakfast while I'm watching church. I can turn the preacher off when he goes too long and I'll go about my business. If we're not careful, we can worry about which way is it going to go. We can worry and fear. What if this destroys what church as we know it? Yeah. We could fear it, or we could just say, Lord, we're going to trust you, that we're going to do what we can. We're going to be as faithful as we can, and we're going to be a help like we can, and we're going to trust you when this is over, that maybe you'll draw the hearts of people back to your house and back together. I believe during this time, one way we are going to be able to defeat the overwhelming objects of fear that are presented to us throughout this time frame is we're going to have to find some serious time alone with God, begging him to do what only he can do while it's out of our hands completely. And since we all have a whole bunch of time on our hands coming up, no better time to maybe read a little bit more out of this book, get alone with God in prayer, and if we draw closer to him, we'll be so hungry for drawing closer to one another that when the doors open again and when things are heading back to normal, we personally will be flooding back in to fellowship one with another and to meet with God in his house. Don't let fear take hold. Allow faith to grow in the midst of trouble, in the midst of trial, in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of the unknown, let faith grow with a balanced life, following God in all that we do. Heavenly Father, I pray.